You are listening to Game Changers. Welcome to Red FM podcast, Game Changers. And it's always fabulous when I get to speak to a boss lady, literally in every sense of it. And someone, you know, who goes on a break and then comes back and shows how it's done. I was just reading upon you. First, let me welcome formally Neha Vagaria, founder and CEO of Her Key, which was formerly also known as Jobs for Her. Welcome to the podcast, Neha.
Thank you so much, Swati. Excited to be here.
What's been happening? How you been doing? How's the new year treating you?
Well, this is the craziest time of the year for us at Her Key because, you know, International Women's Day is around the corner. And that's correct. Usually a great day for companies and this time governments to launch new programs around women participation in the workplace.
Correct, correct. It's like this is the time when the salmon swims upstream. Literally, they are all going in one direction because it's one of those places where we still, you know, even after 75 years of independence, have, despite being one of the largest democracies, have not been really able to, I'd rather say, milk it well. You know, literally, all puns intended here.
Yes, I think it's about time we start doing that.
You took a sabbatical for about 3.5 years, you know, and then you took a break in your career and you had your family to take care of. And prior to that, you were working at a biopharmaceutical company, manufacturing company, Chemwell, in Bangalore only. You were involved in the fields of HR, finance and marketing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
For their facilities in India, Sweden and the US, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And you come from this, this what we call with air quotations, I'm speaking, the universities where you've done your schooling from. You graduated from the Wharton School of University of Pennsylvania, honors in finance, marketing and management of information systems. So much happening. And Neha, when will you feel that kafi ho gaya thoda aaram le lena chahiye?
Almost by the end of every day, I definitely feel like that, Swati. But luckily, I wake up in the morning feeling differently that I wake up in the morning thinking abhi kitna kuch baki hai karne ke liye ki, you know, kal lage raho.
Lage raho. That's beautiful. So despite the various initiatives, yeah, women participation in the Indian workforce remains lower, you know, even mm-hmm. further lower at the executive level. This is what we started the whole conversation with. So what, according to you, is one of the key reasons, you know, if we look at you, someone who's been around the world, you're a cosmopolitan citizen and then an entrepreneur and sort of an expert in the field. What, according to you, is possibly the reason why we're lacking like this?
Yeah, no, I think the biggest reason is that we're still not really addressing the big challenges that women go through when, you know, their career clock coincides with the biological clock, right? I mean, that's usually during this mid-managerial time where you will see a lot of women dropping out of the workforce. Like in most companies, you know, they'll start off with 30% women at the entry level, but it'll drop to 10% at the management level and then single digits at the CXO level. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. for that, we have to figure out how do we get women to restart their careers, even the ones who've taken a break. And more importantly, the ones who are working, how do we kind of empower them, enable them to be able to continue working? And not just that, but how do we get women to start rising in their careers and aim to get to leadership levels? And a lot of concentrated effort needs to happen over there, both from a workplace point of view, society point of view, government point of view, and also from that woman's point of view as well.
Correct. They need to feel it within themselves, you know, that we have to push through this and get it done. I think it's just very nicely put because when we talk about this to from a male perspective, of course, it gets very difficult because the minute a promotion is considered, they all think, ye, ab now she will... She might go on to a maternity leave, fir mera kya hoga agle 6 mahine agar maine isko promote kar diya to, which is a harsh reality. I think it's that same man will also get haunted by it when his own woman has to go through the same thing. And you know, it's a problem which every household will face now, irrespective of the kind of position the man in that home is. And you get back that trouble back into the marriage then, you know. I think that also is a challenge that's happening. So what is Her Key doing differently to help women not only connect with suitable career opportunities, but also help maximize the economic potential of the women?
Well, there's a lot we're doing, Swati. And frankly, our partners in Prime are our companies. Okay, we really feel like there's a lot of work we can do with them to be able to ensure that, you know, we're creating not just opportunities, but also learning and communities for women. So first and foremost, it's making sure that we are opening up huge number of job opportunities for women, you know, breaking mm-hmm. that mindset that there are only certain types of jobs that are suitable for women and certain aren't, right? Like every job is a job for her. Secondly, we are working with companies to come up with specific returnee programs, which are for women who've taken a break, yeah, so that they can ramp back into employment. you know, these are particular job opportunities. They could even be an internship, during which time the woman gets paid a stipend so that she gets a chance to really upskill herself and then join the company as a lateral at the end of the internship period. From a learning point of view, we're working with companies, you know, very deeply to come up with, say, reskilling programs for women returnees, but also a lot of learning interventions that need to happen to be able to make sure that women are have what it takes, not just the hard skills, but also life skills to be able to continue in their careers. And that's when the communities piece comes along, because at the end of the day, companies can do a lot when it comes to changing the narrative for women, you know, making sure that they're not just focusing on diversity, but also inclusion by getting women to feel a sense of belonging. And that over there, you know, different employee resource groups, different networks that companies run in their organizations are very important. You know, so we're looking at powering up those networks to ensure that women stay engaged with their careers and they stay retained and they advance in their careers.
That's very well put. And I think it's one of the key, it's a sore point that needs to be really worked on, especially when you come back in, you know, you sort of like have, you're at a loss, which is something I think world over we are watching change. And the promise from the companies, I think, need to have a returning program. I think that's just changes the game. That helps, actually.
Yeah, returning program and also specific L&D programs for women and also leadership development programs for women. You know, like, So far, we have not looked at it with a woman gender lens in mind, and it's about time we do that, because the problem in front of us is quite vast. It needs unique solutions to be able to solve
I
that problem.
I believe, because in spite of watching women with potential, sometimes the individual themselves do not feel they are ready to take in more challenges. They feel like, "Main jahan waan theek hai, I think, let me just be in this role and not go beyond." You know, I think that kind of push and
a lot of work needs to be done from the women's point of view as well. You know, and for us, it's both sides, right? We work on the demand side, we also work on the supply side. So from the supply side also, we're constantly figuring out how do we connect women with employers, with experts, and with each other. So
yeah, my next question was this. Exactly, this is where I was coming to. How is Herky doing it differently to help women not only connect with the suitable career opportunities, but also, you know, like go in, I just spoke about that. And then how do you make sure that they reach the right kind of job profile?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one, of course, women need to have the confidence to be able to grab those opportunities that come by them. Yeah, so, you know, they need to stop. Like, usually you see, you know, there are lots of studies that are conducted where they see that, you know, if a man thinks he's 60% qualified for a role, he'll apply for it. If a woman is, you know, 90% qualified for a role, she won't apply for it.
Correct.
So, one, we need to get women to grab these opportunities that come by them. Second, you know, and that's where the whole connecting them with employers is very important. Second piece is that we need to also make sure that we're connecting them with experts who will be able to kind of mentor them, also provide them the different, the advice and the learning that they need, okay, to be able to advance in their careers.
But the most important
is actually connecting women to each other from a professional networking point of view. Yeah, so women are great when it comes to social networking. They don't use those networks for their professional reasons. Yeah, and that's why I think it's very important that we also get women to be to professionally network with each other and also inspire, motivate, and have each other's back.
Yeah, but I think that's a very well put point. We should not use the soft skills into the past skills, change them into the past skills. So what is the Herky doing, you know, differently? Which are the key features of Herky which are designed to recruit, retain, and promote the female talent? How do you guys come into the picture, and how do you guys sort of like take it upon you guys to do this?
So I think we recognize the fact that, look, a woman's career journey is very different from a male career journey, right? Like, there are all these twists and turns, and there are different life stages that end up, you know, changing the course of that journey. And I think it's time that we mainstream these journeys. So by having a platform which is specifically for women's careers, you know, we can come up with the unique solutions for women, right? For example, the profile itself that women create on the platform, you know, they talk about not just their work experience, but also life experience. To the kind of employers that are on the platform, the fact that they're on the platform means they really want to increase their women talented. So they're willing to go that extra mile to get women into the doors and also get them to stay. Third is we're coming up with a lot of customized training and learning programs for women, okay, so that they will be able to overcome the career blocks that they're going through. This platform, the Herky platform, it's basically, no matter what stage of life a woman is in, it becomes a career companion for her during the entire journey.
Great. So how can companies collaborate with Herky to implement these initiatives and contribute to the changing talent pipeline dynamics?
So with companies, what we've been working with them on is, one, making sure that they have a robust pipeline of women talent. Okay, a lot of companies, you know, say that they can't increase women participation because, you know, when they get applications for a job opening, you know, about just 10% of the job applicants are women. Hmm. Now, that itself, we need to fix the input metrics itself, right? Like making sure that they're getting huge number of applicants who are women, so that at least then you will start seeing the changes when it comes to the recruitment of women. Yeah. So how do they build those talent pipelines, women talent pipelines, and how do they engage with those women talent pipelines? Mm-hmm. Secondly, then we're working with companies that once you've got the women in, how do you kind of power up your women networks? How do you come up with specific learning interventions to be able to get women to stay with you? So you increase retention as well as make sure that women are climbing up the ladder through these learning programs. So it's across the entire gamut of recruit, retain, and advance.
What are the long-term goals of Herky in terms of improving the gender diversity and inclusivity in the workforce?
Well, frankly, for us, it's really the very long-term one, Swati, because this is not going to be an overnight change, right?
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, today we're at 20% women labor force participation rates in India. And what's worse is that while, you know, you're seeing an uptick happening in overall female labor force participation rates in India, but it's happening more from rural India. Urban India is still at very, very dismal levels. You know, urban India is at 15%.
My God.
Yes, exactly. And that's, you know, because and the problem is not at the education levels. 45% of our graduates are women today. Yeah. But it's just that, you know, we almost see it as a status symbol when the woman in the house is not working. Yeah.
My God. Really?
Yeah. I know. I was as shocked by these statistics when I started Herky as well. Really for us, that goal is really, how do we at least, you know, China is at 60% female labor force participation rates. USA is at 55%. So male participation rates in India, by the way, are 80%.
My God.
And like, just these numbers tell you the kind of inequality that exists and the misbalance that exists in the workplace. So for us, really, the long-term goal is to get to 50-50. But for that, I mean, we are at, you know, we have 4.5 million women on the platform. Within the next 5 years, we want to be at least at 30 million women on the platform. 30 million women, you know, in India, who we want to ignite that desire to work with.
Oh my God. Like, right now we're at the ignition stage. We need to really push them. Like, this is aim into that. I mean, it'll happen. Time will reach there slowly. But
yeah, no, we're already seeing a lot of change happening. You know, I mean, the kind of, like, when I started Herky 9 years ago, it was very difficult to convince companies to hire women returnees. Yeah. And today we have 15,000 companies on the platform. We have companies who are coming up with specific programs only for women returnees, and they're paying us for it. So
that sounds so promising. Yeah. That sounds so optimistic, and that sounds so nice. Yeah, you know, it makes you feel a little better about your existence on this planet, and not just as someone who just, like, you know, has just like certain one duty to carry out and just like live a life like for nothing else. That sounds really, really nice. So as someone personally, Neha, I'd like to delve a little bit into your personal experience now. You know, you experienced restarting a career on your own. What were some of the external and internal challenges for you? Of course, it's challenging for every woman when she's taken a break and she's trying to get back. It's scary, you're uncertain, you're unsure. Even if you are sure, then others are uncertain and unsure about you, no matter how confident you are, probably. So how was it for you?
No, it was definitely a challenging journey. And in fact, I'm glad I went through it myself, because that's what made me understand and empathize with all the women returnees out there who are struggling to get back to work. Yeah, because when I was trying to get back to work, I realized that even though I had a management degree from Wharton, I needed a whole different management degree to get back to work. You know, one, I needed to learn time management because there are, right, so many different priorities that you've got to deal with in one particular day. I had to learn guilt management because, you know, constantly, when you're at work, you feel guilty, you're not at home. When you're at home, you feel guilty, you're not at work.
Correct.
I learned fear management because there was definitely this big fear that, one, the world has moved on and I'm not going to be able to catch up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. Very real.
Yeah, and there was a lot of biases management. Because, you know, at home, everybody around you is constantly questioning you, why do you need to work? And at work, people are constantly questioning you, are you really serious about your career? So, yeah, lots of challenges.
Self-doubts, everywhere self-doubts. So, this is something that cannot be taught, probably, or can it be taught? Can this actually be taught to the women, you know, her coming back?
Actually, it's the community. The community piece of it is key. Okay, you can. So, once you realize other women have done it, you realize that you can too.
Also
by surrounding yourself by other people who are willing to help you through the process, right? Like, and pull you up instead of pushing you further down. Yeah.
True.
I mean, yes, so many women out there, especially in these last 9 years, we've seen women getting back to work after a 6 month break to after a 15 year break.
My God.
Yes, exactly. So yes, it is very doable, very learnable, and very achievable.
That sounds nice, even better coming from you. So how does Erki help women resume their careers from where they left off, rather than starting from the entry-level positions, which is a tricky thing here now? When there's a woman like you, you know, apparently who's super successful, has got this amazing degrees in a career, and, you know, when she's reached a certain stage and then she takes a break and then she comes back and someone says, that, oh, you'll have to start at the entry level. So how do you deal with that? I'm sure there's a small percentage of it. There's going to be
It isn't a small percentage of it. Okay, because so one, a lot of women are looking at reinventing their careers when they're getting back to work. Now, if you are going to reinvent your career, then most likely you will have to start from scratch, right? Because if you were in HR, say, and you want to get into writing, you don't have the prior work experience in writing. Yeah,
correct.
But given the fact that you had work experience and now you couple that with the life experience you have, what women don't realize at that stage is that you can really fast track. Yeah, once you've gotten back, you can fast track your career and you know, leapfrog and get to where, you know, you started off in a much shorter time.
Okay.
Second, though, if you are getting back to a similar area, okay, say you were in marketing earlier, you're getting back to marketing. Now, a lot might have still changed because everything has gotten touched by technology, right? Like now, you might not have done any digital marketing earlier and you need to upskill yourself. Okay, so there are studies that show that if a woman's taken a break in her career, but if she's upskilled herself, if she has the latest skills on her resume and in her knowledge bank, then she will be able to again get back to where she left off. Okay, so the upskilling is also key. The third thing, of course, is the returnee internship model. Now, a returnee internship model really gives you the chance to, one, get on the job training, okay, ramp up your employment, and also you will get an idea of where you really should be at the end of the returnee internship program. Yeah, you get a chance to prove yourself. So you're in a much better position then to negotiate and say that, hey, this is what my title and salary should be. Because finally, at the end of the day, and we women need to realize it first, that what your salary, your title is a negotiation. Yeah. To be able to win in that negotiation, we need to do the right research. We need to get the right training. And we need to have the right confidence to be able to win that negotiation.
Correct. Correct. So talking about your journey, how did the initial years of Erki look like when you started out, Erki? How were the first 1, 2, 3 few years?
I mean, I have to say it was extremely uphill battle. I think it was an uphill battle till the pandemic hit. So the first year, of course, was uniquely uphill because before I started, a lot of companies were being told that you need to hire women for social reasons.
Yeah, that's still happening. I don't know. That's
That is something that I absolutely refused, you know, to accept. And it's something that we never went and told companies, you know, because frankly, I think that puts women more at a handicap if you're trying to make a charity case out of them.
That's what a lot of companies have gotten wrong, I think. I see so many people, I see so many corporates. Yeah. They've just ruined it and then they've done it. And now they say, oh, because diversity, we have to show you here 30% employees and no work is done.
No, and it just hurts even more. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for the company. It's not good for the other colleagues who you're joining. And it's not good for the woman herself.
The whole community.
The job. It's not good for anybody. Yeah, so when we started, we went to companies and said, you need to hire women returnees because they have the experience, they have the qualifications, they have a fire in their bellies to prove themselves again, and they'll join you at no notice period. Okay, and if you're looking for flexible talent, they are very happy to work flexibly. Yeah. So we really played by the strengths, and that's the big thing that we need to do. We need to turn this around. We need to play by the strengths that women have to offer instead of, you know, trying to put this, put a social carpet over it.
So yeah, Harki, coming back to Harki, how was it the first 2-3 years? When did you realize that ab thoda asaan ho gaya niha? Abhi you can just probably take like a sigh. You can breathe out a little.
Yeah, I wish. Okay, one day. Well, no, the pandemic actually made things much better. And, you know, in the beginning of course, the pandemic seemed like a big crisis and catastrophe, and more women were dropping out because of the, you know, the double burden that all of them went through. But the big, big silver lining that happened during the pandemic was that companies realized that they can work flexibly.
Yeah.
And that flexibility has always been a big barrier to women's careers, you know, and I don't mean that companies realize that they can have work from home jobs. It's not like all women are looking for work from home jobs, but just having a flexible mindset, okay, that itself made a huge difference and huge change. The second thing that happened in the pandemic was that families realized that they shouldn't just focus on one breadwinner in the house, you know.
You need to have multiple sources of income.
Yes. And, you know, I really believe that you have to fix the economics. Yeah. You have to figure out solutions using basic economics in place. Okay. Then it's scalable and sustainable. So once families realize, you know, you have another qualified person in the house who can be a source of income, why don't we support her career also? The way we supported the man's career. So then suddenly the women got that support from home as well for their careers. And companies saw a huge number of women leaving the workforce. So they also realized that, look, we have to have specific interventions in place to stem this, you know, leaky talent pipeline.
Correct.
So all in all, the pandemic has been really amazing for women's careers. It's actually the watershed moment after which we're really, you know, pushing hard. That, you know, now you'll see a big uptick in women's careers.
Great. So, I mean, there still must be a time, you know, right now also you might hear an offhand remark, but I'm sure earlier on when you were still in your early years, you know, the learning years and riding against the tide, you must have heard an offhanded remark saying, yeah, suitable nahi hai, sustainable nahi hai, hiring mothers, married hai, yeah, engaged hai, shaadi hone wali hai. You know, how did that... Yeah. Despite all of this, you know, what did you see that others couldn't at that point, and you know, and you went on ahead to do something like Harki, to start something like Harki?
Well, it really still happens. A lot happens even now. Huh? I don't want to like act like it doesn't. I do think, luckily, there are more and more companies that have realized that they're actually losing out on really good talent if this is the kind of mindset they will have. Yeah. So what, I mean, frankly, the war for talent that happened during the pandemic also really helped, because companies realized that if you want to win the, like, it can't be just musical chairs amongst the same people, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The same, like, if you just go after the same people, you know, and try to poach them from your competitors, that's not going to help you win the war for talent, and salaries are only going to keep rising and rising and rising and become unaffordable. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to figure out how to make it work with diverse talent pools. And that's when they realize, hey, there's this big talent pool of women that is sitting over there. Why don't we figure out how to make it work? And that is why those same companies who felt like, you know, a company once told me, we don't hire mothers. And I was like, what? Why? And they said, because we hired a mother once, but then she couldn't manage and she left after 1 week. So now we decided to hire a mother. I was like, wow, like, has no man ever left your company in a week? Did you stop hiring men after that? I mean, frankly, for me, you know, I was obviously the first employer on the platform. Even today, 85% of my team members are women, because for my recruiters, it's too easy, right, to hire the women of my own platform. So for me, like, diversity is my men. Yeah, where I have to...
Yeah, I'm sure, gender. Like, oh, shit, we have no men in this deal. Exactly. We need to get more men in this department.
So we actually, we very closely watch our diversity numbers, okay, by team, sure, by levels, all of that. Yeah. So, and then it's the power of actually unlocking an untapped talent pool. Yeah. Finally, that is what I am benefiting from. And that is what companies are realizing how much they can benefit from.
And I think it's still a very nascent market. If more women entrepreneurs like you want to like do this, you know, what would you suggest them how to start and how to go about it?
No, so first of all, I've seen that whenever there are women entrepreneurs, that company itself automatically is a pretty women-friendly place to work in. Yeah, because also if you think about it, like to, as of now, the average working person in an organization is a man. Yeah, so workplaces are usually built by men, for men, of men. And there's no blame game on for this. Yeah.
No, there's no blame game. I agree. I think the women who are woke, true feminists, do not put this as blame.
There's no blame, right? Because finally, if the workplace was full of men, the workplace is built for men.
Will be. Yeah. We need to come in and they need to let us come in and they need to listen to what we are also saying and hear us also and think about it logically. Correct.
Now, the workplaces that realize that they want that average working place to be either a man or a woman, okay, they need to look at systemic changes happening in that workplace, okay, starting from what kind of policies do you have, you know? And I'm not just talking about the 6-month paid maternity leave policy, which, by the way, has been a big deterrent for women recruitment. But when it comes to flexibility in your policies, even parental leave instead of maternity leave, then what kind of networking policies do you have in the organization, right? What kind of culture are you driving? So, for example, is most of the networking happening in bars or over on the golf course or in men's toilets? Because then if the women are not networking, then they're not growing. Okay, networking is extremely important to grow.
Important, yes.
Yeah. What kind of, you know, learning interventions do you have in your organization? You know, are you also making sure that you're removing bias from the organization in a systemic way? So when there's usually a woman at the top, a woman entrepreneur, automatically, like, for example, I had little kids when I was starting my company. Ever since we've had our own office, you know, we've been started off, by the way, from social at Church Street. But ever since we had our own office, we always had a small area dedicated to a kids' zone. Yeah.
Correct.
So we encouraged our team members to bring their kids to the office. Okay. And most people thought that was absolutely crazy. But for us, it was a no-brainer. Right? That frankly has helped so much when it comes to high employee satisfaction, high employee productivity, because then they can come to the office, and high retention as well. So, like, examples like this, you know, if a woman entrepreneur or any entrepreneur starts thinking about the needs of an average working person, being a man or a woman, we will change the rules of the game.
Lovely. We all know the importance of the whole community coming together to support the women also, the whole families, the ecosystem immediately, not just the companies, the corporates, people like you alone cannot win this, or the alone government policies cannot win this war or change the game. We need the supporting role players in the journey of the women for their careers to flourish, right? And for their homes also to flourish and to get that sort of like work and professional balance, work and personal life balance. So what advice do you have? We know everybody needs to play that role, families, husbands, children, everybody. What is the advice do you have for creating that more supportive environment for the working mothers?
I think I have to stop thinking actually about just being supportive, and we have to start feeling proud. Okay. You know, from a family point of view, families should feel not just that they want to support their women's careers, but that fact that they are proud of their women working. Like right now, we feel that families feel that, okay, if the woman in their house doesn't work, that's a matter of pride. Yeah, that obviously that means the man of the family is earning enough, and you know, so the woman doesn't need to work. But ulta, we should feel proud that woman is also working, because work, by the way, one, of course, that's the only way to put financial power in a woman's hand. And we need to stop shying away from how important that is. And women also need to stop shying away from it. You know, we need to realize that only with financial independence can we have the true independence.
And realize actually a deep part of ourselves, which we hardly face in our lives. You know, they just spend their lives without realizing who they are. I think they just never come face to face.
Yeah, absolutely. Because also the thing is that then you don't have that power in decision making, right? If you don't have the ability to write your own checks, okay, you're always then looking at someone else to make that decision for you.
Let me tell you, when you go to your own ATM or you go to your own bank or you write your own check, that feeling surpasses any other feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's why we need to stop like like, you know, making our women into goddesses or martyrs. Yeah, we need to actually realize these are real women with real problems, real challenges, and real solutions.
Oh, wow. I love that. I think that's a beautiful piece to end, especially with a Women's Day around. I think this is it. This is my, I don't know what the United Nations is going to come up theme with for this Women's Day, International Women's Day. I think my theme is set by you. We need to stop making them goddesses and we need to stop making martyrs out of them. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. It was really a pleasure talking to you.
It was amazing, Neha. You just made my evening pump up. If I find someone, I know I'm going to tell her to check into Harki.
Absolutely. Tell all the women and definitely tell all the men as well.